1 Samuel 23:15. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. In the other translations, it says, and strengthened his hand. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. So Jonathan came and strengthened his hand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need your strength, and we need the imparted strength of God in one another as well. Lord, may this be a home of strength and a place of your blessing. We receive your anointing on all that happens here tonight, and we ask you to put this in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Another thing that I should tell you that is emerging from my time with David was out of what he shared with me. He started off, and I don't think he intended it to go this way, but sometimes we do prophetic things and we don't even know that we're doing it until later, and we find out that God was in it. Sometimes I say something to somebody and I'm not trying to prophesy, and then they come back to me later and say, God spoke through you the other day. And I was not aware of it, but that happens a lot. And David started off our conversation, and he was trying to gather his thoughts to put together some scriptures that he wanted to show me. And he said, I've been thinking about strength in Israel. And I stopped him, and I said, strength in Israel. Are you saying that this is a name that God's given you? He said, no. He said, let me finish. But the Lord was already speaking to me about something. And then he took his time and shared all that he needed to share with me. And at the end, I went back and I said, you know, at the very beginning, you said strength in Israel. And I would like to tweak it a little bit and say strength for Israel. But I felt the Holy Spirit speak it to me when you said that. And I want to put this on the table before the Lord, but I feel that our ministry that we're going to start for Israel is going to be Strength for Israel Ministries. And I looked online, there's no ministry called, there's just about everything else and called Strength for Israel Ministries. So it's a strong name, and it really will be descriptive of what we're going to be doing. So strengthen the hand. Jonathan went to David and strengthened his hand. Now, that word hand is mentioned 1,800 times in the Bible. And it has a meaning, the word hand, that is way more extensive than just this little appendage on the end of your arms. The word hand speaks of our activities. And actually, it is connected and speaks of our heart. And the scripture says in Isaiah, strengthen the feeble hands and the feeble heart. These two things are connected together. So, for example, a clean hands. When the Bible talks about clean hands, it's actually talking about an innocence. When it says this person had clean hands, it means they were innocent. When the Bible says they came with an open hand, it means that somebody is generous. They're generous of spirit. They're willing to give. That's what an open hand means. When the Bible talks about putting your soul in your hand, It says, and they put their soul in their hands. It's talking about risking your life. When you put your soul in your hand, it's talking about risking your life. To let your hands droop down. Many places the Bible talks about, don't let your hands droop down. And it says in another place, and his hands were drooping down. It means somebody is depressed. Somebody is really under a heavy, heavy cloud, and they're feeling under it. So drooping hands speaks of discouragement and depression. To strengthen the hands actually means to fortify or empower somebody, to really encourage them and to give them the help they need to carry on. When you strengthen the hand, you set them forward into greater things. When the Bible in Psalm 144 says, he trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. The training of your hands speaks of being equipped for spiritual warfare. In other places, it says that their hands were weakened in the work. And that speaks of having no faith and being tired when your hands are weakened in the work. If our hands get weakened in this work, it means that we're failing and we've come to the end of our strength and we don't have faith to carry on. So the Bible's speaking about our hands are really speaking about something much, much bigger. And Jonathan came to strengthen the hands of David. To strengthen the hand. So this is one of our jobs, isn't it? Is to strengthen the hand. I've come, you can make this one of your favorite sayings from now on if you like. When you go up to somebody and they say, hi, how are you? And you said, I've come to strengthen the hand. Ha. That means I've come to encourage you. I've come to fortify you. I've come to build you up. I've come to help you in such a way that you're going to rise up and be stronger than you were before I came. Maybe you're in a pit or you're down somewhere. I've come to strengthen the hand. It's a great word. It's also found, if you turn with me to the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra, in chapter 6. And verse 22, it says, for 7 days they celebrated with joy the feast of unleavened bread because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria so that he assisted them. The actual word is he strengthened their hand in the work on the house of God, the God of Israel. So this here is right at the very, this term has to do with the large purposes of God. In this case, it had to do with the building of the temple. And Ezra came and Zerubbabel before him, and they rebuilt the temple of the Lord that had been broken down. And they were discouraged at one point, and they were forbidden to go forward with it. But the word of the Lord came through them and went to the king of Assyria, and he came and assisted them. He strengthened their hand for the work. Now, let me say something to you. When you are here and you come with your work clothes on, you strengthen the hand. You strengthen the hand of the brother beside you, of the sister behind. Now, when I say work clothes, you're thinking about blue jeans. But that's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about your spiritual work clothes. When you put your spiritual work clothes on and you come here and you say, I'm going to bless the people of God today. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to strengthen the hand. Ha! I've got a job to do and I'm going to strengthen the people of God. Sometimes you come up to somebody, you don't know what they've gone through and you don't know their history. You don't know all the battles that they have faced and all that they have gone through, but you're on assignment.
and you get up in the morning, you put your work clothes on, and you come into a person's life, and you strengthen the hand. I like the words of John Wesley. He said, I will go into every man, every woman's life, as much as they will let me. He said, I never walked away from anyone, but many people have walked away from me. That's my story. I have never walked away from anyone, but many have walked away from me. But it doesn't matter where somebody is coming from or who they are or what their experience is or how beat up they are or how arrogant they are or how proudful or boastful they are. When I see them, I have my work clothes on. I want to strengthen the hand. I want to see them become what God has called them to be. And he says that he comes to bring the high places down low and to bring the low places up. That means he knocks a few chips off us if we're too proud. And if we've been beat up and are so abused and so wounded, he lifts the low places up. And then he straightens out the crooked paths. Some people won't have anything to do with crooked people. But I will. I don't let them know that I know that they're crooked. But I can smell crooked before it comes in the door. But it doesn't matter to me. Because I see something beyond their pride or the abuse that's in them or the crooked bow. So that every time they shoot an arrow, it never flies straight. Some people are like that. But I feel at times when I'm strengthening the hand, I'm a little like John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord for his people. And to strengthen the hand wherever they are. Now if somebody is a great leader, they have such an anointing and such authority, I want to still strengthen their hand. If I ever have the chance to meet Billy Graham person to person, I'd want to strengthen his hand. See, I'm just a hand strengthener. Because everybody has times and seasons. God designed it this way, where you need somebody else to help strengthen the hand. And then you get all beaten up. Some of you have really suffered a lot. You've gone through a lot. There's so many people in the body of Christ who are so wounded. Some of them have started to come into this building since we've been here. People coming in and crying. One of the reasons that they're crying is because they're grieving. They're grieving because they saw the death of a movement of God, because they remember the days where they just saw a flicker of God's glory, but it's been so long. And they've been in a kind of wasteland, a kind of a dead zone, still loving God, still walking on this pilgrim way, but somehow nothing is the same anymore. And they lost hope that it will ever come again. The world is getting too dark and the people of God are getting too distracted and some are getting too flashy. And where is the God of Elijah? And they have this crying inside of them. And there's a grieving. When they come in the door, I want to strengthen their hand. I want to say, don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord is going to move again in power with more authority and more anointing than you've ever seen before. Do you know what happened at other times in history? Even in the times of Christ, when Peter kind of was a little off target. And when Jesus said, I'll be dying soon and going to the cross, Peter said, never, Lord. As long as I'm here, I won't let it happen. They're not going to crucify you. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Get behind me, Satan. And then he said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he does. But you know what Jesus tells him? He says, Satan has come to sift you like wheat. To get all the good stuff sifted out of you so that all that's left of you is the husk, just the shell. He wants to make people into just empty shells. He wants to sift you like wheat. Have all the anointing and all the power and all the joy and all the peace and all the faith just sifted right out of you so that all that's left is just the dry husk of your life left. And he says, Peter, Satan has come to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, he says, when you recover from this, strengthen the hand. That's what he said. He says, strengthen your brothers. Go and strengthen the hand. You might say, well, if I get beat up like that, I don't think I'm going to be any good for anything. I don't think I'm going to be able to strengthen anybody's hand anymore. You know, there was a day when I was called into the ministry a long time ago. The day when God seemed to answer my prayers, and the day when I saw revivals, and the day when great men of God stood behind pulpits. And people with such anointing for healing and for preaching the word. But all that's gone now, and I'm just here. Maybe that's you. It's not me. But it's a lot of people. I want you to understand, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people will come to this place, and that will be their story. Tell them they don't know their story. They only have a few of the early chapters. They haven't seen the last chapters of their story. And strengthen the hand. Say, Peter, when you have been converted, when you have turned around and come back into a place of trusting in the Lord and having an expectation of faith, then get ready, because God's going to put you on assignment to strengthen your brothers. Let this house be a house of the strengthening of the hand. May every person who comes in this door feel encouraged and strengthened. Oh God, may we never bring guilt manipulation upon people or beat them up because they've fallen. May this be a place to strengthen the hand. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach good news, not bad news, good news to the poor. To open the prison doors, to set the captives free, to lift off the oppression, to open the eyes of the blind, and to declare the year of God's favor. It's time to strengthen the hand. So when I see you on Sunday morning, or on Saturday morning if you've come with the blue jeans on, if I see you, don't be surprised if I ask you, have you come to strengthen the hands? What about my hands? Will you strengthen my hands? Will you strengthen each other's hands? What does it mean to strengthen the hands? Well, it means that you don't break rank. that you don't speak negatively, that you speak encouragement, love, that you're part of the solution and not part of the problem, that if something needs doing and you can do it, you do it. You strengthen the hand. And other people might look at you and say, why are you doing all that? Are you crazy? That's just a church. You tell them, this is not just a church. This is a place where the fingerprints of God are. Amen. And I'm here. I'm part of it to strengthen the hand. That's what I'm going to do. And if everyone strengthens the hand, can you imagine the strength that will be in this house? Can you imagine? Have you ever seen a church like that? Some of you have. Many of you have never seen it. In fact, I remember the day when Doris came up to me. It might have been a year ago now. We were still in the old building, and she came up and she said, I've never seen a church like this before where there was so much family. And when I started being the pastor 3.5 years ago, I was so, so torn because I saw people who were not a family. Now, a few here and there had a good relationship with each other, but there wasn't a family in the house of God. I thought, oh Lord, I can't have this. I don't care what they say. I can't live in a world, finish it, without love. That's right. And it's got to be, there's got to be friendship, and there's got to be a strengthening of each other, and there's got to be that kind of involvement with each other's lives. A strengthening of the hand. It must be there. So get ready for it to happen with you. Even the worst story of a man's life, of a godly man's life in the Bible, is probably the story of Samson. His early days were so powerful and so anointed. And then he ran off after a woman and he went into rebellion and he was captured by the Philistines. Of course, he had his hair cut off. He lost his anointing. If you're going bald, don't worry about it. It's not a connection. But it was for him. And the Philistines took him and put him in chains. They burned his eyes out with coals. He became a blind man. But he was strong, muscular, like some of the guys in this church. And he was pushing where normally a donkey would be pushing on the millstone, turning this huge stone around and around so that it could grind the wheat into flour. And that's what he did all day long. He just pushed this thing. And then the Philistines had this big party with more than 3,000 of their leaders. And they said, bring out Samson so we can make sport of him. By this time, his hair had grown back. And he had humbled himself. He had been humiliated. In fact, the Bible says to us, doesn't it, that we should humble ourselves before the Lord, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if we don't humble ourselves, we become humiliated. The end role of a lack of humility is humiliation. And I like the way it has been said by others that there's two jobs. One is for you to humble yourself, and then it's God's job to lift you up. Right? But if you lift yourself up, then God only has the other job to do, which is to humble you. But Samson didn't humble himself when he was at the height of his ministry. Before that time, he was extraordinary in God. He didn't humble himself. And so he became humiliated in the worst way. He thought it was all finished. But on that day when they brought him out to make sport of him with 3,000 Philistines in the arena, there was a boy who was with him, leading him because he was blind. They brought him to the center of the stage and mocked him and made fun of him and no doubt threw things at him, poked him from behind and who knows what, laughed and made jokes about him. And then they were partying and he was taken off to the side and he was leaning up against this huge pillar and he said, "Young man, let me feel the main pillars of this huge place." And the boy put his hands on these two pillars. And then Samson prayed this prayer. He said, "Oh Lord God, strengthen the hand once again." Even though he'd been so defeated and so finished, the power of God came on him and he pushed those sticks until they collapsed. And the whole thing collapsed. And all 3,000 of the enemies of God were destroyed that day. And the Bible says that he killed more of the enemies of God in his death than he did in all of his life. Strengthen hands. So this isn't just something that you do for other people. Realize that you need your hands strengthened. You're not going to be the same person that you are today in a year from now. Even 6 months from now. Can I even say in 3 months from now? You can have an amazing transformation. You just need the anointing of the strengthening of the hand in your life. See, you don't think much of yourself. Or you might think too much of yourself. One way or the other, God's going to try to get you on the right track. When the Bible says be sober-minded, it is not talking about alcohol. It's talking about your mind. And to be sober-minded means to have an accurate evaluation of yourself. Not to think of yourself too low and not to think of yourself too high, but to know who you are. It's not pride. If you're a pastor, to say you're a pastor. And if you're an apostle, to say you're an apostle. Now, if you flash it around like a set of cufflinks and, you know, make everybody call you with certain, you know, dignitary titles, well, that's, God will have to humble you. But if you are, whatever you are, if you have an accurate evaluation of yourself, that's when you will be most purposeful in the kingdom of God. I think I know who I am. That's why I can do what I do. If I didn't know who I was, I could be a nice guy. I could still be just as friendly. But if I didn't know the level of anointing that's on my life, the call of God that's on my life, if I didn't know my relationship with God, and who I am to him and who he is to me, if I didn't have an accurate evaluation of myself, I could not do half of the things that I do. So you need your hands strengthened. And you need to say, "Lord, strengthen my hands today." There are many scriptures in the Bible where the people of God cry out and say, "Lord, will you strengthen our hands in the work?" In Nehemiah's day, when they were rebuilding the walls, they cried out to God and said, strengthen our hands. And then Nehemiah gives this testimony. He says, the gracious hand of my God was upon me. And he strengthened our hands for the work. I want to give you one last scripture. Then we'll land the plane. Come to Revelation chapter 3. I often include the book of Revelation when I preach. It's in my blood. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. We can just stop there. I think I could say that to a lot of people who come into this place. I could say to them, strengthen what remains, that which is about to die. They say, well, Pastor, I've had such a journey and I'm just so downtrodden and I'm so beaten up and I only have just a little bit left in me. And I'm hanging on. And they're crying. Because they're grieving. They're grieving over the loss, the absolute massive loss in their lives. And they love God. And I want to say to them, strengthen what remains. That which is about to die, strengthen it. Strengthen the hand. Let it come now. So I say it to you. No more giving up. No more laying down. No more backing up. It's time to strengthen the hand. Do it humbly. But it's time to get the strength of the Lord in you and moving through you to somebody else. So I want to pray for you now for the strengthening of your hand. Will you stand, please? Let's dedicate our lives to the Lord. Please pray this prayer. Hold your hands out. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Oh. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Forgive me of my sins and wash me afresh with the precious blood of Jesus. I give you my hands because I know you've called me. You've called me to partner with you. But I haven't always done it the way I should. But today I give you my hands. I ask you to strengthen the hand of my life. Let the power of God move in me so that I might complete the journey and fulfill the call and to be everything you've called me to be. I say, yes, Lord, to your destiny for my life. And Lord, I put myself forward to strengthen the hand of others so that every word that comes from my mouth will encourage and build up and fortify and strengthen the hand. Let it come. Let there be a movement of the strengthening of the hand. a rebuilding of the family of God. I will be a part of it, Lord. I dedicate myself to that end for your glory and for your purpose in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.